St. Petersburg voters will decide at the end of the month on whether they really want the Linz to replace the inverted pyramid pier on the city's waterfront. What will the vote mean for the future of the St. Pete Pier? This is Florida Matters.
Support for Florida Matters comes from the Hospitals of BayCare Health System, providing more than 100 health seminars, classes, and events each month. BayCare's mission is to build a healthier Tampa Bay. Register for a complimentary health seminar, class, or event at BayCareEvents.org.
From the Donna Studio at WUSF Public Media, I'm Kirsten Cooper. The aging St. Petersburg Pier officially closed to the public on May 31st. The city of St. Petersburg plans to demolish it and replace it with a new pier, a design called the Linz. But not so fast. Opponents of the Linz design gathered more than 20,000 signatures to force a referendum on whether or not to move ahead with those plans. That vote is scheduled for next Tuesday, the 27th. We'll take a look at why this has become such a big and contentious deal in a moment. But first, some background. WUSF's Susan Giles-Wantuck gives us a little history on the relationship between St. Petersburg's waterfronts and its iconic pier.
A pier of some sort has been a St. Petersburg staple for more than a century, says University of South Florida history professor emeritus Gary Mormino.
Since the 1880s and the railroad, the Orange Belt Railroad, the first major pier, and then in 1913 they built a municipal pier, which many people consider the first modern pier. The one pier that seemed to captivate everyone and would undoubtedly be the leading choice if it were put up for a referendum today was the Million Dollar Pier. And that's the pier, the Mediterranean Revival, that had the open air casino.
Memorable structures that Mormino says are more than an image on a postcard.
The pier has always held a special place in the heart of St. Petersburgers, which is why the current crisis is generating such hard emotions, I think.
Mormino says during significant national events, such as Victory over Japan Day, which effectively ended the Second World War, public spaces meant something very different from what they mean today.
FCC quotes, Domai saying Japan accepts allied terms. Repeating this bulletin, dated San Francisco, the Federal Communication Commission quotes Domai saying...
During that moment in history, he says Tampans headed to Ybor City's 7th Avenue or Franklin Street downtown to celebrate the end of the war.
In St. Petersburg, you go to Williams Park, Central Avenue, or the pier. And that was a place where everyone except African Americans, came to have a good time, to listen to speakers, to listen to a band concert, to dance, and it was an obligatory stop for tourists.
But Mormino says the pier is not the tourist attraction it was during the time of the popular Million Dollar Pier, the Mediterranean Revival Pier mentioned earlier. The city took out a $1 million loan to pay for it in the 1920s. It stood until 1967. As for its replacement, the inverted pyramid, in August of 2010, after more than 2 years of meetings and studies, city council members voted to tear it down on the recommendation of Mayor Bill Foster. City Council Chair Leslie Curran said this about the plans for the pier in August of 2010.
I think what we have now is a unique opportunity to develop something that will really benefit all and not just this community, but be an attractor to tourists as well.
After more than 2 years of searching and debate, a select 5-person jury picked Michael Moulton Architecture's The Linz in a design competition that included the wave and the eye. Public resistance to raising the inverted pyramid and putting up the Linz has been building for years. A survey taken by McLaughlin and Associates last spring said a majority of those polled wanted to cancel the contract for the $50 million Linz. Opponents of the new design gathered 20,000 signatures to put the fate of the pier in voters' hands. Voting day is August 27th. For Florida Matters, I'm Susan Giles-Wantuck.
The current inverted pyramid pier was designed in 1973 by local architect William Harvard Sr. His inverted pyramid design befuddled a number of folks back in the day. Bud Risser is one of the founders of the Anti-Linz Group, Concerned Citizens of St. Petersburg. He joins us on the phone now from St. Petersburg. Welcome to Florida Matters.
Thank you, Carson.
So are you befuddled by this new proposed design, the Linz?
No, and I think it's important that people understand the concerned citizens is really hopeful that we can get the best possible solution for our waterfront. And our feeling is that the lens does not represent that. But because of the processes, in order for us to get to a better solution, we've had to work to stop the lens. And so we think we are much further out into the future in our planning about this, but the first thing we had to do was to slow the train down and see if we can't get to a better solution.
So it was your group that forced this coming referendum. So you're not particularly anti-lens, but are you anti the process or anti any new design? What is it that you're against, and what do you want?
That's a fair question. The process itself, I thought, was going along quite well through the task force report. And then our view is that after the task force report, certain things happen. We could talk about those later if need be, but in our words, it derailed the train. We, instead of having the international design competition that the task force envisioned, they picked three architects from the resumes. So there were really only three submissions, and they were all pretty exotic. And one of the reasons they were exotic was that the city staff instructed the architects to ignore the task force report as being too restrictive. And that was in a document that was never made public. We got that through a public records request. And so the architects, they're all good, and they did what they were told to do. But our feeling is that the lens, as envisioned, never really captured the culture or the sense of our community. Our feeling is that it's still not nearly as good as it could be.
All right, Ed Montaneri is the co-chair of the group Build the Pier, which supports replacing the pier with a new lens design. Welcome to Florida Matters.
Good morning, Carson.
So the old million-dollar pier, which was demolished back in 1967, it was torn down years before anyone had any idea what would replace it. So what's the rush now? Why must we have a new pier design now?
Well, just a correction, the million-dollar pier building was demolished, not the whole pier.
The pier, okay, right,
the,
fair
the
enough.
The pier bridge and the pier head were all built in 19 and finished in 1926.
And much of that concrete is still there from the,
right,
from the 20s.
Right, so it's all circa 1920. So, it's approaching 90 years old. There are about 1,100 beams and pilings sitting in the water that are at the end of their useful life.
Okay, but the question is that the million-dollar pier, it was no longer a destination. 1967, they shut it down.
Right.
And before they had any idea that this inverted pyramid would be coming along about 9-10 years later. So why the rush into this new design?
Well, there really wasn't a rush. Back in 2004, City Engineering identified to our city council that the pilings were approaching the end of their useful life. And the city went through some studies, and then in 2008, the city of St. Petersburg started what has turned out to be a 4.5-year process to get to the point where we are right now. We started off with the people. We started off with a series of visioning events that we invited anybody that wanted to come and give us their ideas what to do with the pier. And then we had a major task force, a 20-member task force of citizens that met for 14 months in 63 meetings. I was the vice chair of that task force. And we came up with a plan, four different alternatives for the city to study. We presented that report back in June of 2010, and then the city took the project forward. One of our recommendations was to do a international design competition. And the city did that, went through a long process with that. The winner was Michael Maltzen Architects, and now we're at the point we are now. So it hasn't really been a rush job. I mean, the city has done their due diligence, and I've done a very good job.
Bud Risser, do you agree that the current pier, it has to come down, or it has to be, something has to happen. If it's not the lens, it has to be something.
And there's no question, I think the consensus, could you repair the approach to the pier? Yeah, but I don't think anybody thinks that makes any sense.
Alexis Milner is the editor of the Tampa Bay Business Journal. Welcome back to Florida Matters.
It's good to be with you, Carson.
So the inverted pier, before it closed on May 31st, how much were we gaining or losing revenue-wise with that pier?
Well, our observation of that structure was that, and just from anecdotally visiting it and trying to get a sense over time what the businesses were doing there in terms of volume, it just seemed to be someplace that could have had more energy in life.
Ed Montaneri.
Yeah, the pier has been subsidized over the past 10 years at, on the tune of about $1.4 million a year from the general fund of the city to keep it open.
Mayor Bill Foster appeared on Florida Matters about a year ago, and here's what he said about fixing the pier versus replacing it.
All of that is resting on concrete poured in the 1920s. The idea of spending $50 million to have to bring that inverted pyramid up to a 2012 building code, an ADA compliance, without any replacement of the first floor retail, to save a 40-year-old building, doesn't make any sense.
So Foster says we have to start with a clean slate, and Bud Risser, I take it that you sort of agree with that. You're not happy that we got to where we are. Right now.
I think Mayor Foster would like to re-record what he said and say it a little differently, because he was talking about the pier resting on old concrete. The pier rests on caissons, and the caissons are now, 50 years old, something like that. But not surprisingly, the engineering reports indicate that they're really in pretty decent shape. And when you start reading these reports, you have to think about who the author is. And the city staff has been trying to sell, ripping all this stuff out. So their reports tend to say that this stuff is not going to work very well. But if you read carefully the independent engineers who have been providing information to the Maltzen team, you'll discover that those caissons probably are functional for a very long time.
Ed Montaneri, let me ask you about that. Is Depression-era concrete still going to be part of the new lens if it's built?
Well, the
caissons or whatever's down there.
Bud is right about the support structure of the inverted pyramid building. That was new back in 1973 when the inverted pyramid building was built. But the whole pier head rests on 1926 pilings if you go out from the first floor. I can understand why some people might be suspicious by some of the different reports that are out there. But when the pier task force did their work, we had four other subcontractors that did engineering studies for us, marketing studies, a study of the inverted pyramid building, and land use and environmental studies to help us come up with an answer on what to do with the pier.
Let me ask you about the design now. The new pier, it's supposed to come in under cost or at cost at the very most. It's supposed to have low maintenance costs, has to generate revenue for the city, and it has to be iconic. I've seen that word icon used quite a bit here, and icons are not born overnight. And for that reason alone, wouldn't it make sense to keep the inverted pyramid? We've had that since 1976.
Well, the inverted pyramid is the building's at the end of its useful life.
The building might be, but what about the design?
Well, the design, you look at the design with the pier, you've got two transportation challenges. You've got this horizontal challenge where it's not connected to the downtown. And then once you get out there to the pier, you've got a vertical challenge because of the design where to get people up to the top floor, which is where the programming is. Mm-hmm. The lens design, you're exactly right, Carson. It's not only under the budget, but it decreases the subsidy by over 50%. And to start this whole process over again, this 4.5, almost 5-year process that we've started, and to have a chain link fence and a padlock pier on the waterfront of St. Petersburg just isn't a smart way to move our city forward.
Alexis Milner, are icons overstated when it comes to dollars and cents?
You know, I think icons are very important, and maybe it's important to take a step back in this. And Ed's described the process, and if you look at the history of this, 63 public meetings. And so if you take a step back and you ask yourself, what is the cost, the opportunity cost of a culture of do-over? If we go in another direction and we go back, and as Ed said, if we have a chain link fence there, you know, what could we possibly get at the same cost? Because I think these are fixed costs and as a guarantee in the first phase. And construction costs are going up. And be careful what you wish for.
I want to talk more about how we might use the lens and its iconic image in the minds of folks who live here and to visitors in just a moment. Voters in St. Petersburg are about to decide what to do about the St. Petersburg Pier. You can see a photo history of the pier and the proposed design at WUSFnews.org, and we invite you to weigh in on our Facebook page. I'm Carson Cooper. This is Florida Matters. This is Florida Matters. I'm Carson Cooper. My guests are Alexis Milner, editor of the Tampa Bay Business Journal, Bud Risser of the Anti-Lens Group Concerned Citizens of St. Petersburg, and Ed Montaneri, co-chair of the group Build the Pier. The aging St. Petersburg Pier officially closed to the public on May 31st. The city of St. Petersburg plans to demolish it and replace it with a new pier, a design called the Lens. But opponents of the Lens design gathered more than 20,000 signatures to force this referendum on whether or not to move ahead with those plans, and that vote is scheduled for next Tuesday, the 27th. Alexis Milner, when engineer Joseph Strauss first laid out his plans for what would become the Golden Gate Bridge, people called it ugly. He altered the design, by the way, because of that feedback. And when voters agreed to fund it, they had not yet picked that color, the international orange, I think it is. So it was sort of a leap of faith, if you'll pardon the expression, that this would become an icon in San Francisco. Here's Robert McLeod, the director of the USF School of Architecture and Community Design.
And we can look historically at plenty of projects that were very controversial upon completion and widely disliked and that have over time come to be really embraced by communities. The go-to project for that kind of example is the Eiffel Tower, which was not well received in the early days and is one of the ways we understand the city of Paris as kind of a shorthand for the city.
So the pier is not the Golden Gate Bridge, it's not the Eiffel Tower, but with all due respect to the architects, Michael Maltzen and the pyramid architect, William Harvard, do architects today have the same grand visions as earlier generations of architects?
They have to. I mean, you look at sort of what was produced in this process, and these were some pretty compelling concepts. Architects are wonderful sources. I love talking to them because they always have a point of view that reaches for something that is risk-taking and needs some courage, and for some, maybe the stomach. I got here in 2004 and had not spent very little time in St. Petersburg, and when I was, and this is, again, personal preference. Design is visceral. And I saw the inverted pyramid and wondered, how did that happen? I mean, my preference for that building is it doesn't meet sort of, I don't love it. But the fact is some people clearly do. But that's the beauty, I think, of design. And over time, it's more than just that. It's a sense of place. Do you come back to it? Is it something you want to go and walk in? And then from the business side, that again, will drive demand and could be a very important thing.
Bud Risser of the Anti-Lens Group, does this design touch all your buttons? Do you consider it to be on par with some of our greatest architectural achievements?
Yeah, Carson, don't talk about anti, because we really are. We have a vision that we can do a whole lot better. If I can come back to icon, I'm not sure why anybody wants to have an iconic structure in our community. I've lived here for 70 years. And to me, and I know people will not like what I'm about to say, but to me, the idea that we have to build some kind of iconic structure is mostly an ego trip. It's more important to me to say that we have the most iconic structure on the planet, if you'll just look at it. And by that, I mean our waterfront. We have the most beautiful waterfront in the United States of America. And I don't make that statement loosely. There is no other place in this country where you can have the kind of experience that those of us who live here in St. Petersburg can have on our waterfront. And so for us, we don't want to mess that up. And sticking something out in the bay, whatever it is, whether it's the lens or something else, we insist it should be consistent with the beauty and the natural situation we have that people starting back in the beginning of the last century saved for us. In the case of the lens, we think that it does not have a lot of function that the task force hoped to have. The most obvious is the task force recommended 26,000 square feet of restaurant as the draw that would bring both tourists and locals to the waterfront. And they recommended a gourmet restaurant, at a minimum, a gourmet restaurant, a fast food restaurant, and a beach bar kind of restaurant. Well, frankly, there is no restaurant. So we think that the omission of those kinds of functions have damaged what could be a really good project.
All right, Ed Montaneri, that's a lot to think about there, but critics of the lens say it doesn't work because of, well, the reasons that Mr. Risser just expressed, but that, you know, it's the outdoor feel, there's no air conditioning. But supporters say that's the very reason it will work.
When it comes to the programming, I want to politely disagree with my friend Butt. The peer task force, over the course of 14 months, we came up with 36 recommendations on the things that we wanted to see with the new pier. And it was the result of a lot of public input. The iconic feature was just one of 36. And the international design competition came at the end of this very open public process. So how we got to where we are today didn't just happen overnight. It wasn't done in, you know, some smoke-filled room by a couple of people. It was a wide open process. Everybody was invited to every meeting. And that's how we got to the lens design.
Alexis Milner, when voters go to the polls, are they voting on what they on the look of a pier or on what they might get to do at the pier?
I think they're voting on the future of what the city means to, in a broader context, to the region and its ability to attract new energetic intellectual assets and talent. It's a much broader picture, and I think if you get caught up in wanting a 25,000 square foot, you know, air conditioned gourmet restaurant, which to me on some level doesn't seem to be very accessible to all, this plan, you know, and again, I don't have a horse in the race. I don't live there and vote. But when I look at the design, it appears that it really focuses on the wonderful assets of being outside and in a culture that is increasingly focused towards fitness and towards wanting to make the destinations where you can exercise and work out and walk and enjoy being outdoors and then have lots of places to go and eat and take in culture. It does seem to fit that in a lot of ways. And then from a business point of view, my sense is that it allows for some organic business, small business growth, depending on how demand goes.
And again, you can see the proposed design, the lens, on our website, WUSFnews.org. But Risser, why has there been such a why is this such a big deal right now? It's so contentious. The disconnect between the city and the public when it comes to this pier issue.
I wish I knew the answer, Carson. I think it started with the fact that St. Petersburg has a long and treasured history of allowing votes for what happens on our waterfront. I think the number one emotional issue was that the city never gave the people the right to vote.
Many of those who oppose the lens say they're upset the city did not give them the vote on whether or not to keep the current inverted pyramid pier. So it sounds like it's a design question. I don't know. But when funding something, certainly that's referendum worthy. But in many cases, should the way we choose architectural designs be up to a vote? Here's Tampa Mayor Bob Buckhorn on that.
I'm not sure putting it up for a vote gets you the best product, because ideally what you want out of this is you want people to talk about it. You want it to be striking. You may not have to like it necessarily, but certainly with art, if people are talking about it, you've accomplished your goal. And so I don't think the democratic process lends itself to good design, good art, good structures necessarily. I think it's one of those gut decisions that you end up having to go with.
All right, so Bud Risser, when you try to please everyone, are you doomed to mediocrity?
Well, there's really two issues, Carson. The first is that the state of Florida's constitution makes it illegal to borrow money to build a capital project without a referendum. Now you say, well, how can that be because of what's going on here? Well, the tax increment financing program was designed to get around that in certain limited situations, but it had to do with improving streets and urban renewal and those kinds of things. So what's being done here, I think, in the sense of the Constitution, there should be a vote on whether or not to borrow this $50 million, because I think that's the spirit of the law.
So, Ed Montaneri, were you opposed to this referendum?
Well, I can see on the tax issue. I can understand a referendum on that. When you start getting specifics of, well, I like this building and I don't like that building, then I think you start going down this slope that you're going to end up with something that looks like it was designed by the old Soviet Union Politburo.
Alexis Milner.
This process, which spanned a decent interval of time and had plenty of opportunity for public input, it was well noticed. We certainly knew about it. There were, if you look at the task force and the various committees, there are some really prominent folks who are very knowledgeable about the task force and committees that they served. It seems to me that that process, where you bring expertise of folks that have the authority to share a vision, and then you reach this consensus and you come to a conclusion there's something in all of that that says, let's go ahead and move ahead. Again, the culture of do-over does not, allow you to constantly question these decisions. So I think, and this one to me, again, as an observer, was arrived at with a fair opportunity for plenty of public input. And when you're talking about design, aside from the tax issue, which I agree with as well, you really do need to winnow it down and seek, the experts and the creatives that really have it to offer and then make a choice.
Bud Risser, what is the deal with the ballot language? If you vote yes, you're saying no to the lens. And if you vote no, that means yes, go ahead and build the lens.
What you're really doing is voting on an ordinance that says yes, cancel the contract. Now, that doesn't translate very well from a marketing standpoint.
Well, that ballot language could doom your effort. I mean, if you want to do away with the lens, it seems like you wouldn't want to vote no.
Well, I don't want to insult anybody here, but if somebody will take 10 seconds to actually read the question, it's very clear.
Ed Montaneri, if the vote is yes, no lens, what's next for the pro-lens movement?
Well, that's kind of where that's the conundrum that the city of St. Petersburg is facing. Because we have gone through such a intense and long process, we go back to square one. And we have to start to figure how do we start building consensus back in the city to create a new pier for future generations. I'm afraid that this referendum is going to put a halt to this future progress, and we're going to have either a pier with a chain link fence and a padlock on it for a long time, or we're not going to have a pier.
We would not go back to square one. What our group says is you go back to the task force report, which is well done, and you include with that the work that is now being done on the long-range plan for our waterfront. So even on that basis, you're going back a couple years.
All right, finally, Alexis Milner, if the lens doesn't happen, if the voters reject the plan or vote to end that contract, what do you envision?
How does this reflect on the wider world of people who look at this event and St. Petersburg? Can this be a community that gets things done? What is the cost of that from a pure intangible point of view about brand and image and how we play with the rest of the world to the extent that that matters for economic development?
All right, voters will decide on Tuesday the 27th. Alexis Milner, editor of the Tampa Bay Business Journal, Bud Risser with Concerned Citizens of St. Petersburg, and Ed Montaneri, co-chair of the group Build the Pier. Very interesting conversation. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you, Carson.
Thanks a lot, Carson.
You're welcome, Carson.
And that's our show for today. You can join the conversation on Facebook or get more information online at WUSF.org/Florida Matters. Florida Matters is produced by Joselise Ramos, Lottie Watts, and Craig Kopp, and is a production of WUSF Public Media. I'm Carson Cooper. Thanks for listening.